Well, hello everyone. This is Dr. Sandy Gluckman, and my practice is called Parenting That Heals, which means that I teach parents whose children are grappling with learning behavior or mood challenges how to reverse those conditions. And I teach parents also how to prevent those kind of conditions from even starting. I work very closely with Dr. Alina Altianu. Dr. Altianu, do you want to say hello?
Hello, everyone. I'm Dr. Alina Altianu. I'm a pediatrician and the owner of a pediatric clinic called Whole Child Texas in Frisco, Texas. And I like to treat the whole child, spirit, body, brain. And Dr. Sandy and I, we collaborate closely on a lot of our patients, especially more complex patients who have chronic conditions and who truly need a whole child approach, because treating just the symptoms is not working, and both of us like to go to the root cause of the problem. So today, Dr. Sandy and I, we're going to talk about hot topic, especially these days, how to raise resilient children. So Dr. Sandy, back to you.
Okay, good. Thank you. So this is actually part two of our masterclass. We did part one last week, and we call it The Secrets of Raising Confident Children. So before I get going to give you some more information, I did receive a truly wonderful and important question during the week from somebody who watched part one. And I feel that this question is so deep and so important that I'd like to spend a few minutes sharing the question and the answer with you. So she writes, this wonderful mom writes, Dr. Sandy, I was thinking about a lot of the things you said in your various webinars. And of course, I have heard you say previously the I'm not enough statement. My question, Dr. Sandy, is that I think I grew up always feeling just enough or enough, but never feeling great or amazing or wonderful. I'm curious why you have named the phrase so enough, when to me that feels like you're saying so enough means short, very short of good or great. Isn't our goal as parents to make our kids feel like they're great, amazing human beings that we are so proud to be a part of their lives, as opposed to making our kids feel like they are just enough and we love them anyway? Wow, great question. I could actually write a book on this question alone. So she says, I'm asking because I want to learn more on how to give my kids their self-confidence back. So I would say that the best way to answer this is to say to you that the belief that who I am is enough, it's just so enough for mom or dad, is like the foundation of a house or a building. Once that foundation has been laid, the builders can erect a beautiful structure on top of that foundation. But if they were to put this beautiful structure up, without the foundation, it would soon crumble. And so that's exactly what we're dealing with here. The belief that who I am, as I am, is enough for my mom and dad, it really becomes a feeling. It converts into a feeling of self-worth. And it is this feeling of self-worth that is that foundation I'm speaking about, on which parents then can begin to ignite the greatness of the child. So just telling the child how wonderful and great and amazing and special they are, without the child first having that core belief of I'm enough and that core feeling of self-worth, will never ever work. It has to be that we first begin with getting that child to have a neural pathway, a belief in a neural pathway, which says, I feel like I am worth something to my parents and to the world around me. And then we can build on that. So I want you to remember, for those of you who have heard me speak about this before, or for those of you who have not, everything starts with a belief. So we have a belief, and our belief triggers a feeling, a matching feeling to that belief. So what is a feeling, though? And what we don't often realize is that a feeling is a chemistry. So if we have a positive belief, we will get a positive feeling, and that will secrete some positive chemistry, which we then call a feeling. So, for example, if we have a happy feeling, it's related to serotonin in our body. If we have a feeling of connectedness and bonding with people and feeling warm around people, that's connected to oxytocin. And if we have a feeling of wanting to achieve something and pushing for something and wanting to focus and be motivated, that would be related to dopamine. And if we have a feeling of just joy and peace and calm, it may be related to endorphins. So the point I'm trying to make here is that we need that feeling of self-worth, because with it comes a chemistry, a wonderful chemistry, that actually then converts into emotional resilience and confidence. So I'm saying that confidence and resilience is a chemistry which starts with the feeling of self-worth. And then we can build on that afterwards. We can ignite the greatness and wonder of these children, but we do need that foundation first. So we must be careful not to think that I am saying, you know, darling, you are just enough. You are enough as you are. It's okay. You're just enough. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying that the child gets a message of, I see you. I see the wonder of you. And who that is just so enough. It is so wonderful, just the way that you are. You don't have to look for my approval. You don't have to show me how amazing you are. I see it. I see it. And that is enough for a child to feel that there is confidence inside of them and they can reach for some great goals. So I think it's really important for parents to understand the neuroscience of building confidence. As a matter of fact, I believe that today, parents need to understand what's going on in that child's brain and in the child's body. We can't get away without knowing it these days, because there's just so much amazing, important new information that we have discovered. So understanding that I need to have a foundation in my child of wholeness and enoughness, and that it is a chemical, and that the chemical converts into resilience and confidence, that is essential. However, the understanding alone is not enough. Well, a different not enough. Understanding this is good, but what we really need to know then is, how do we put this into practice? Because there's skills, parenting skills, that will make that happen. So I don't know if you're aware, but I do have a free webinar, which you can see on the homepage of my website, which talks about the 7 ways of raising confident, resilient children who are primed for success. And so that will give you an introduction to 7 things you need to do in order to ignite that, or in order to build, I should say, that foundation of wholeness and enoughness, upon which you will then ignite their greatness. So take a look at that. So thank you for that question. And for those of you who have got other questions, feel free to email us. We will always respond. Now, I want us to I would like to share with you a new tool for today. And today's tool is actually all about what I call heart-based parenting versus head-based parenting. But instead of me talking about this and lecturing to you about this, I want to do it in a totally different way. So let's do it as a guided visualization, and let's connect with our hearts. And in order to do that, what I need you to do is to make yourself comfortable in your chairs. Close your eyes. Make sure that your spine is straight, that your palms are on your lap facing upwards. And at the same time, with a straight spine, make sure that you soften the front of your body. And then just come along with me. And now I'd like you to put both of your hands on your heart and press gently against your chest and see if you can feel the beat of your heart against your hands. Take a deep breath into your heart from the bottom of your stomach upwards. And then slowly, slowly exhale. And let's do our breathing a little more here. With your hands on your heart, I'd like you to breathe in, like imagining a wave that is rising. On the inhale, and then imagine the wave recessing back into the ocean on the exhale. So it sounds like this. You breathe in like this wave rising, and then you release that like a wave receding back into the ocean, and hear the hissing sound of your exhale. So it's. And make that exhale longer than your inhale. So breathe in and listen to the hissing sound on the exhale with your mouth closed. And with your hands on your heart, as you breathe out, imagine that your heart is softening and opening. Breathe in. Breathe out. And your heart is softening and opening. One more breath in. And as you exhale, again, just feel your heart opening even more. And then go back to your ordinary way of breathing. And let's have a conversation with your heart, keeping your hands on your heart, feeling that beat. I want you to say after me, quietly in your head, "Hello, heart. Thank you for taking care of me. Thank you for being there for me. Thank you for waiting so patiently for me to connect with you. I am sorry I didn't connect with you enough. I'm sorry I ignore you so much. Hello, dear heart. It feels so good to connect like this." And take a deep breath into your heart, feeling the connection. And now, let yourself remember with your hands on your heart still that this incredible organ is the center of all your compassion and joy and peace and serenity. It is the center of your creativity. Above all, it is where all healing takes place, your own healing and your children's healing. It all happens in your heart. Let yourself know that when you feel peace and joy and love in your heart beats in a certain way. This is the heartbeat that allows real connection with yourself and your children. And the most remarkable thing is that your children's heart feels this heartbeat of yours, and it becomes their heartbeat too. Their hearts mimic your heart. And now let yourself know that when you are anxious and fearful or frustrated and irritated, you have a very different heartbeat. Your heart rate becomes faster and more erratic. And your children feel this heartbeat of yours, and it becomes their heartbeat too. Let yourself know that nothing good ever comes from engaging with your children when your heart is beating this way. These different heartbeats are known as HRV, the heart rate variability, and neuroscience shows us that your children's heart rate will mirror your heart rate. So let's talk to our hearts again and say these words after me, quietly in your head. From today onwards, dear heart of mine, before I respond to or engage with my beloved children, I'm going to check in on you first. If you are beating with a rhythm of anxiety or frustration, I will calm you lovingly so that together we can calm the children. Take a deep breath in and then exhale, listening to the hiss of your breath. And now tell your heart, I will go somewhere quiet and spend heartfelt time with you so that I can communicate and behave in heart-focused ways with my children. And finally, tell your heart, I will do this every day by putting my hands on the sacred place where you live in my body. I will bow my head slightly and listen for your beat while I breathe the breath of love and joy. And so it shall be. Keep your hands on your chest. Take a deep, beautiful breath in, like the wave rising in the ocean, and then like the wave receding, exhale, listening to the hiss of your breath and letting go, letting go, and letting go. And now slowly open your eyes and come back to me, holding on to the beautiful feeling of connection you just had with your heart. So folks, you're going to get a copy of this video, this masterclass, and I would really highly, highly recommend that you listen to this guided visualization for many, many days, maybe even for some weeks ahead, so that you can remind yourself of your connection with your heart and your intention of connecting with your heart in a loving way so that you can be a heart-focused parent. So, you know, what does being heart-focused have to do with building confidence and resilience in your children? Well, the truth is that we cannot build that kind of focus, that kind of confidence and resilience in our children when our heart rate is beating erratically because of stress, because of frustration, maybe because of fear and anxiety. We can't build confidence in our children then, because our children's heart rate is feeling the same way as ours, and they're responding in all kinds of ways that are not going to be building confidence. But when we are, our heart rate variability is just in that wonderful place, that place in the center part of our being where there is calm and peace and joy and serenity and compassion, we'll use different words. We speak differently. Our tone of voice is different. The look on our faces is different. Our body language is different. And of course, our children's heart rates are the same as ours. And now we can engage and communicate with them in a way that will build their confidence and their resilience. So that's I think that's just one of the most powerful tools you can begin to use as of this evening and going forward. There are a whole bunch of tools, of course, and we won't get to them all because we're just doing a two-part class here. But you can get many more tools on my 14-day online program. I also have a 10-day online program, and it is filled with information and the tools for building the child's confidence and resilience from the inside out. Just getting in there, changing their chemistry so that they have a feeling of self-worth, and that chemistry then becomes resilience and confidence. And there are ways to do that. It will not happen from the outside in by talking. So get on our website again, take a look at my 14-day online program, which is called 7 Ways to Raise Resilient, Confident Children That Are Primed for Success. And I think that's enough from me for today. I want you to hear all about the wonderful things that Dr. Altiano has planned to tell you about how confidence and resilience are connected to health and well-being. So Dr. O, it's up to you now.
Thank you. Thank you so much for this guided visualization. I actually feel more calm and peaceful and in my heart. So I definitely speak from my heart today. As Dr. Sandy mentioned, there's a lot of neurochemistry that reflects confidence and resiliency in children. And this neurochemistry is actually part of a child's body. So we cannot have confident children that are not completely healthy, that have chronic conditions. So my part today of teaching you how to raise confident and resilient children is to talk about how to keep them healthy, or if they have any chronic conditions, how to reverse those. So I want to mention the foundations of physical health, which then leads to mental and emotional health. I usually start with talking about nutrition, but today I want to mix it up a little bit and talk about sleep. the last couple of months has upset everyone's sleep cycle. We as adults sleep less, or we don't sleep as restful as we used to. And I'm noticing in my little patients, they're not sleeping well for several reasons. One is they're not going to school, so they don't have the same routine. They think they don't have to wake up at the same time. Anxiety causes sleep disruption, and a big one is too much screen time. In the last couple of months, children have been doing a lot of online learning, so they're spending a lot of time on their computers anyways, and because of the lockdown and parents working from home, not being able to take the kids outside, kids spend extra time recreationally on their electronic devices. The blue light from the screen actually interferes with the brain waves that are conducive to sleep and to melatonin production, which is the hormone that helps induce sleep. So I know that we're over the lockdown in most places, and kids are out of school now, but I would encourage parents to restart a sleep routine. So kids need to go to bed at the same time and wake up early, ideally before 10 a.m. Also, I want parents to put some limits on screen time. I know it's very hard. This is a really difficult topic, and Dr. Sandy and I, we have a program for that. We have another webinar that addresses screen addiction. But unfortunately, I do see so many kids becoming addicted to screen. And when you try to take it away, they're becoming upset and angry and tearful, and they're very hard to redirect. They're very hard to get outside the house, but it's really important to start. And that's why it's so important to start setting some screen time limits. And Dr. Sandy and I, we're going to have a whole masterclass just for that. We're going to announce the times on through newsletter and on our social media. But both of us, we think this is such an important topic that we want to spend some time just on this topic alone. But for now, I do encourage you to slowly set up some limits. And when you take something away from kids, you have to put something healthier in place. So what I would suggest to do is movement. Not everyone has to be an athlete, but every child has to do some physical activity every day. And it can be long walks or unstructured play in the backyard, bike riding, walking the puppy, jumping on a trampoline. But it has to be some kind of physical activity, at least an hour or two a day, that gets kids' heart rate up and makes them sweat. It's healthy for their physical body. It helps them sleep better. It takes them away from their screen, and it's really healthy for their mental health. So that's my advice for sleep and screen time and movement. Another big piece as a foundation for health is stress management. And stress management is actually for the entire family, because as Dr. Sandy just demonstrated to you, is that it's not just the kids that need to manage their stress. Kids are actually picking up on parental stress, on their heartbeat, on their stress hormones. So when I talk about stress management for children, I actually imply stress management for the entire family. And by the way, all these principles that I'm mentioning as a foundation for physical health applies to parents as well. because parents cannot raise confident, resilient, healthy children if they themselves are not healthy, confident, and resilient. And what this last couple of months taught me more than ever is that we cannot control our outside environment, that we live in some very volatile times with a lot of changes. This is not the end of the pandemic, and we may not be able to go back to the way things were. So one constant thing that I foresee is actually change. And to adapt to change, we as adults have to be more resilient. And by us becoming more resilient, we can raise resilient children. So another big part of the physical health, I'm finally talking about nutrition. As I said, I usually start with nutrition. But if all the other pieces of the puzzles are not in place, we can eat as healthy as we can, but still not have a healthy body. So we still have to sleep well, move, manage our stress, limit our screen time, and eat healthy. So eating healthy, again, I understand it's been hard the last couple of months because everybody was cooped up, and there was stress eating, lots of carbohydrates, lots of baking for fun. But slowly, slowly, we have to get back into a routine of eating healthy. So healthy eating for children is, number one, eliminate processed food and sugary foods and beverages. Nothing with artificial dyes and added sugar, and adding healthy foods like lots of vegetables, fruits, healthy protein, healthy fats, meat, eggs, nuts, seeds, avocado, fish, and back to vegetables. It's nobody's favorite topic. Most kids don't like vegetables. If they do, they definitely don't like 8 to 10 servings per day. But I do encourage parents to set an example. So if you as an adult eat vegetables and salads, children are more likely to eventually copy your behavior. So the same way that you model your heart rate variability, you can model your vegetable intake. And supplements. This is one of the questions that I hear a lot. And as you see, I didn't put it on the top of my list because, again, the other pieces of the puzzles are so important. And we cannot replace sleep or stress management with a vitamin or a supplement. I do believe that in certain times, especially times that we live in of really high stress, it is important to take some supplements. And the basic ones that I recommend for kids are a good, healthy multivitamin. Again, because most kids do not eat the recommended servings of fruits and vegetables per day, I do recommend omega-3 or a fish oil supplement, vitamin D, especially if they don't spend that much time outside, vitamin C for kids who don't have a diet that is high or rich in vitamin C, and probiotics. Probiotics are really important for gut health, and I will just briefly mention the importance of gut health in overall health, immunity, and mental health. There's tons of information in the last few years that shows that there's a gut-brain immune system connection. And in terms of mental health, we're learning now that there's a big part of the serotonin, which is the feel-good neurotransmitter, is actually made in the gut. So I like to joke that what's the connection between constipation and confident children? It's actually through a healthy gut. A lot of my anxious children, children who are scared, afraid, or not that self-confident, are actually constipated as well, because their stress affects their gut health, and then it becomes a vicious cycle. So that's another reason why it's so important to eat healthy, to practice stress management, and sleep. Also, lack of sleep actually increases stress hormones like cortisol that are very inflammatory. Last but not least, nature. I want kids to go outside. They've been inside for a very long time, so there are safe ways to get outside. But being in nature is so important for physical, mental, emotional health. If they do some kind of movement, even in Texas when it's 100 degrees outside, they should exercise early in the morning or late in the evenings. But there are safe ways to get kids to move outdoors. And if possible, take road trips, go on vacations. It's really important for mental health to change your environment. Traveling actually increases dopamine, which is one of the happy, feel-good neurotransmitters. So these are some of the main foundations of the physical health. And you may wonder why I talk about it. What does this have to do with confidence? And I just mentioned it, that you can't have a confident child without having a child that has a physical, a healthy physical body. You want to say something, Sandy?
Yes, I saw there was a question. I think it was Carla who asked if you could please repeat the vitamins you mentioned.
Yes, so I mentioned a multivitamin, vitamin C, vitamin D, omega 3, and probiotics.
Right. And so, Dr. Altiano, so the same principle, I guess, would apply, for example, to children who have got eczema.
Yes. A lot of children who have chronic conditions, anyone with eczema, allergies, asthma, constipation, right, anxiety, they do have an underlying chronic inflammation. So chronic inflammation is one of the main root causes of a lot of chronic conditions, both in kids and adults. So all the principles that I mentioned are actually decreasing inflammation. And there are little differences in treating every one of these conditions that I mentioned, but this overarching principles that I just talked about applies to a lot of kids with chronic conditions, to prevent these chronic conditions and also to reverse them. All right. Well, I hope this was something new for, and if it was a new something that reminded you to apply these principles. And if you want more information, both Dr. Sandy and I have a lot of free resources on our websites, on our YouTube channels, on our podcasts, on our social medias, Facebook, Instagram. So make sure you sign up for our newsletters. We announce this free webinars through social media and newsletters. And thank you very much for being with us today.
Thank you, everyone. Take care. Be safe. Be well. Bye now.
Bye.